Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had three posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. On Monday, we described the study where the authors found that only 85% of the athletes achieved impact scores at or above the 16th percentile after the first baseline assessment. However, after a second or third attempt, over 98% of the athletes achieved scores higher than the 16th percentile. In the second post, we introduced the International Olympic Committee's consensus statement on dietary supplements and the high-performance athlete. Finally, in the third post, we described the study where the authors reported that a multidimensional assessment battery provides clinicians with the best concussion diagnostic accuracy. Symptom checklists are the driving force for accurate diagnosis of concussions, while balance error scoring system has limited utility when the standardized assessment of concussion and symptom checklist are performed. If we take a closer look at that first post, we find that the authors evaluated the frequency of valid yet suboptimal performance among 769 NCAA Division I college student athletes, and examined the benefit of subsequent administration of impact baseline testing for those athletes who have a valid yet suboptimal impact score. All athletes were tested individually or in pairs in a quiet room with limited environmental distractions and were provided verbal and/or written instructions on how to perform the test. Additionally, proctors remained in the room during testing in case any questions arose. If a participant scored below the 16th percentile in one or more of the modules, they were asked to come back to retake the test up to two more times to see if they would improve. All of these retest sessions were more than 7 days after the prior test. Based on impact's validity criteria, 1%, or just 9 out of the 769 of the administered test, were considered invalid, and almost 15% had one or more composite score below the 16th percentile, which is considered suboptimal, but were still technically considered valid. After the first readministration, 71% of those participants achieved scores greater than the 16th percentile, and an additional 18 out of the last 32 scored greater than the 16th percentile after the third administration. Athletes demonstrated the most difficulty with verbal memory during the first baseline assessment. After one or two readministrations, over 98% of the athletes scored at or above the 16th percentile. Lastly, there were no differences between people with valid and suboptimal results regarding concussion history, age, total symptom score, hours of sleep, or endorsement of depression or anxiety. For clinicians who use baseline assessments to compare post-injury scores, it is imperative to clinical decision-making that these baseline scores represent an athlete's true abilities. The authors of the current study found that 98 athletes needed a second or third attempt to achieve optimal performance. Due to the length of time between subsequent testing sessions, which ended up often being more than 2 months, the improvements in the scores may not be due to knowing correct answers, but could be attributed to a better understanding of the instructions, or having an advanced feel or for how to take the test or how the test is conducted, or was just feeling more well-rested that day. It was also interesting to note that the testing session was done under prime conditions. It was quiet, proctored, and there were only one or two athletes taking it per session. This suggests that clinical sites where athletes who are tested in suboptimal conditions with distractions and testing in large groups may actually have higher number of athletes scoring below the 16th percentile. It would be interesting to identify whether effort influences baseline score. For example, are athletes attempting to have a valid sandbagged score? Presently, medical professionals should be aware of the limitations of the validity of the impact scores and understand that additional steps such as double-checking for low scores, testing in controlled environments, and subsequent testing may be necessary to ensure a true baseline measure for future clinical comparisons. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, check out our 6 online evidence-based courses available through the Human Kinetics website. Also, if you or your patients are looking for a new compression sleeve or socks, please check out Zensa's compression products at Zensa.com. That's Zensah.com. Our co-founder recently checked out their products and thought that they were great quality and would be ideal for individuals who need full mobility but would like compression to enhance proprioception. For a limited time, you can get 10% off your order if you use customer discount code SMR10. That's SMR10 for 10% off. We'll have links to the EBP courses and Zensa's website on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.